I want you to turn with me, and we're going to get right into the Word, to John chapter 11, very familiar portion of Scripture. I'm going to begin with the 20th verse, John 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise. Martha saith unto him, Lord, or unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's go down to the 39th verse. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Say I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him, and let him go. Honey, would you stand and ask God to anoint me, please? Hallelujah, God. Amen. 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 Thank you. I want to minister to you this morning on this subject. There's a miracle in the making. How many needs a miracle this week? There's a miracle in the making. Let's look at the scene that I just read to you. Lazarus is dead. Jesus is late. Martha's mad. Mary's sad. And the crowd's puzzled. Lazarus is dead. Jesus is late. Martha's mad. Mary's sad. And the crowd's puzzled. And Jesus arrives. I want to give you 4 steps this week to a miracle, or this morning, to a miracle. 4 steps that we see in the scripture I just read you. Number one, Martha said, Jesus, if thou'dst been here, my brother would not have died. The first step I'm going to give you, and Jesus said this to Martha, thy brother shall rise again. What was he saying? Trust in my promise. Trust in my promise. What his lips says, what his lips promises, his hands are able to perform. If we'll get that in our spirit and in our heart. Honey, we ask for performance and God gives us a promise. We ask for a harvest and God gives us a seed. And we need to get it in our spirit this morning. God, I can trust in your promise. I can stand on your word, believe that you're who you say you are, that you can do what you say that you can do, because you're God and besides you there is no other. Trust in his promise. The word of God. I used to work for General Telephone Company. I probably told you that last year. The only people that pay me to talk 8 hours a day. I think I told you, but I'll tell you again. Used to work for an orange juice company. How many remembers me telling you that? And they canned me. They said I couldn't concentrate. Put your squeeze on me. It's a little sour about it, too. But when I worked for General Telephone Company, that was before I married, there was a young lady there that was a good Christian girl, and we ran around together. 1 year we were going to take a vacation in the Smoky Mountains, Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Now, I had a little Volkswagen, a little green Volkswagen, had a Raptor roof in it. Now, if you don't have one, don't worry about it. You'll go through the rapture, or the roof if the rapture takes place. I just happened to have one. We got down to the Smoky Mountains in the middle of Gatlinburg, got our motel room, went to take the car back to the room, put the key in the ignition, and the car wouldn't make a sound, wouldn't start. I was upset. Two little old ladies in the middle of the mountains, I think I was 25 years old. I got married late. When I was 18, I began to sing, "Who will I have, who will I have?" By the time I was 28, I began to sing, "Who will have me, who will have me?" Somebody answered the call. Thank God he did. The first thing I did, I walked to a public telephone to call my dad. Now, my dad's 300 miles away. That was before the day of cell phones. When the operator announced the call, she said, "I have a collect call for anyone from Martha Allen," which is my name at that time. "Will you accept the charge?" And my dad, and I want you to hear me, church, my dad didn't hesitate. He didn't say, "Who is she? Where's she from? What's she want?" My name was Allen. His name was Allen. And for 25 years, I had fellowship with him every day. That was my father. When I heard his voice, he said immediately, "I surely will." When I heard his voice, I began to cry. He said, "Sis, what's wrong?" I said, "Dad, I've got this car down the middle of the mountains. It won't run, and I don't know if I've got enough money to get it fixed. I don't know what's wrong with it." And he said, "Do you know who you're talking to?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "This is your dad." He said, "Now, sis, you call the first service station you can find. Have them to check your car out. Call me back. Let me know what's wrong. And I will send you any amount of money that you need to get your car fixed." He said, "I've got everything under control, and I'm not broke." Now listen to me, church. I shouted all the way back to the motel. The circumstance hadn't changed. I was still going back to a car that would not run. Dr. Wood. But what had changed? I'd heard from home. I'd heard from a father. And I trusted that father's promise. He said to me, "I've got it under control. I am not broke." Honey, there's many times I have to get a loan somewhere, and I've got to hear from home. And I hear the word of a father make me a promise, and he says, "I've got it under control. I'm not broke. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I own the potato in every hill, and I know when to kill cows, and I know when to dig potatoes." Amen? I'm still God. You can trust my word. You can trust my power. Hold on. I've got it under control. Trust in my promise. I don't like a story halfway told. I called the first service station I could find. They came out and checked my car. The battery was down. It cost me $1 to get my car fixed. The phone call cost more than it did to get my car fixed. But you know what I had? I had, as an adult, a childlike faith in a father's word. I want to say that again. As an adult, I was 25 years old, but I still had a childlike faith in a father's word. He said, "I've got it under control, Brother Hackett. Don't worry about it. I'm not broke. Everything is going to be all right." Hear me this morning, church. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you're going through, you can trust in his promise. Martha, trust in my promise. Thy brother shall rise again. Now, in promises, I may have told you this last year, but I want to relate it to you. In promises, there are problems, rest stops, and seasons. Seasons are certain, but they're not final. You may be in a winter season now, but let me tell you, honey, spring is on its way, summer will come, and fall will bring the harvest. If you'll continue to look unto him and say, "God, I'm going to trust in your promise. I'm going to believe your word. It doesn't matter what they say, what they think. I'm going to hold on to the word." Honey, God didn't call me to defend the word. He called me to stand on it. I don't have to make anything come to pass. I just trust his promise. That's all I have to do. Not only did he say, trust my promise. But then he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. She said, I know. Martha said, Jesus, I know. He'll rise again at the last day. Honey, find my water there. I need to water my teeth. It won't make them grow. It'll just keep them wet so I can preach. Thank you, Debbie. When you don't have, well, these are my own teeth because I bought them, but I'm sorry to say when you don't have your own teeth, they are my own teeth. Anything I buy, I feel like belongs to me. Let me say the ones I was born with. It's a little difficult sometimes. They get dry. Not only said, trust in my promise, but she said, I know the brother will rise again. My brother will rise again at the last day of the resurrection. And he said, Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. The resurrection is not a day or an event. It's a person, amen? Not something we celebrate once a year. It's somebody I celebrate every day of the year. What did he say? Not only did he say, trust in my promise, number two, he said, turn to my person. I'm the resurrection and the life. Know that I am God. I believe that he died, he rose again. How many believes that? He lived, he died, and he rose again. How do we know that? Gabriel announced it. John the Baptist proclaimed it. Satan challenged it. Demons acknowledged it. The high priest denied it. Peter acclaimed it. Oh, Jesus confirmed it. And the centurion was convinced of it, and the resurrection proved it. Amen? He lived, he died, and he rose again. Father, we need to turn to him this morning. Turn to his person and know that he is Jesus that cannot change. How many knows he changed? Changes not. How many believes Jesus gets sweeter every day? Wrong. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Gotcha. It just seems like it does the closer we get to him. Amen. But he changes not. Circumstances change. People change. But Jesus never changes. Let me give an example. Circumstances change. You remember when they were on their way. Jairus' daughter was sick. And then they came to him before they got there and said, "Oh, don't worry the master anymore. She's already dead." Honey, circumstances had changed. She was sick and now she's dead. But how many knows it didn't make any difference if circumstances had changed? On his way was one that did not change. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to say this morning, Jesus, I'm going to turn to your person. Whatever it looks like, whatever the world says, whatever people think, I'm going to look unto you, the author and the finisher of my faith. Honey, if I look at circumstances, I will be depressed. If I look at people, I'm going to be discouraged or disappointed. If I look at the world, I'm going to be discouraged. But if I look to Jesus, I'll be delivered and set free by the power of Almighty God. Amen? Oh, turn to his person. I want to tell you something, church. We can go through this serving Jesus mechanically so long. Somewhere, someplace, we've got to get along with God, and we've got to hear from home. I know the mechanics of worship, and so do you. I can do it without thinking. I can go through a whole worship service, clap my hands and lift my hands without thinking. I know the mechanics, but that doesn't mean that I'm turning to his person. And worship of him. What do I need to do? I need to say, God, once again, somewhere, I've got to get alone with you and know that you're God and that you're going to be real in my heart and in my life in a fresh way. Listen, we can't get so busy. You've heard the statement made. We cannot get so busy in the work of God that we forget the God of the work. Why am I here? Why are you here? Folks, we need first to serve God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. and say, God, I'm going to let you be real in my life in a fresh way. And the only way I can do it, more of you, more of you. And the only way that I can do it is turn to his person and let him reveal himself and make himself real unto me in a fresh way. Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. All you have to do is turn unto me and let me be God in your situation and in your life, and I will bring you out. We live at the Lake of the Ozarks. In fact, on the Southern Missouri District Campground is where we live. And there is a retired minister there by the name of Darrell Massey. He's 84 years old. And a few months ago, he was in the hospital. And the doctor came in and said, Reverend Massey, you have cancer in both lungs. In fact, you're eaten up with cancer. We're sorry to give you this report, but we have to be true to you. Brother Massey said, when that doctor left, said my wife was all upset. They've been married 63 years, and I think that's wonderful. She was all upset, and she began to cry. And he said, I looked to her, and I said, now, Mama, 70 years, I've served God. And I've always turned to him for whatever I needed. And he's never failed. Never failed. Now he said, let's pray. And he said, as we prayed together, I said, God, I'm turning to you one more time. Jesus, you're my healer. And before they x-ray this body again, let every trace of cancer be gone from this body. I believe your word. I trust your promises. And I believe you're the Lord that healeth. And as they begin to pray, he said, Sister Tennyson, the Holy Spirit, fill that room. We felt the presence of God, and he said, I felt God come into that room and lay the healing hand of the great physician upon this body. They took another x-ray in a day or two, and they came back and said, Mr. Massey, Reverend Massey, we don't understand it. Evidently, our machines messed up the first time. There is not a trace of cancer in your body. Not a trace. Your lungs are totally clear, and there is not a spot anywhere in your body. What happened? Brother Massey said, I'm going to turn to his person. He's always been real to me, and he's the resurrection and the life, and I'm going to let him do something in my situation. Now, folks, we've got to leave it with him when we do that. I can't try to make it happen, but I've got to turn it to him. Not only did he say, trust in my promise, turn to my person, number three. He said, tell of your position. What did he say to Martha? Believest thou this? Believest thou this? You know what Martha had to do? She had to get beyond, Lord, if, and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, if. She had to get beyond that and say, Lord, I believe. How many knows we've got to get beyond, Lord, if this morning? We've got to get beyond, Lord, if. And we've got to say, Lord, I believe. I trust your word. I believe your promise. And we'll turn to your person because you're who you say you are. And I believe you this morning. And I'm going to get beyond, Lord, it. See, faith is not just a mental conclusion. Faith, and let me just tell you what I think, this involves activity and decision. It's not sitting around saying, I believe you. I believe you. We've got to act like we believe. We've got to see what happened when I left that telephone, public telephone, and went back to my motel. I acted like I believed something was going to happen. I didn't say, well, Dad said he had it under control. Dad said he wasn't broke, but I don't know. Brother Jim Wilburn, I had to get back there. And all the way back to the motel, honey, my heart was light. My car wouldn't run. I didn't care. Dad said he's going to take care of me. And I've got to get to the place. I could have said, but what if? What if Dad doesn't have the money? What if Dad forgets? What if? What if? Honey, what if will kill your faith? But you've got to get beyond what if. And you've got to say, Lord, I believe. I'm going to tell of my position this morning. I'm going to tell where I stand this morning. Lord, I believe. Faith is knowledge, belief, and trust. That's what faith is made up of. Knowledge, belief, and trust. I have to hear the knowledge before I can believe. Word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by... And I reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and he has made me whole. He said, ma'am, I've been in this practice 25 years, and never have I seen or experienced anything like this. He said, you're going to be fine. Well, a couple years ago, I had another prescription written. I mean, I had your many times, but let me tell you about this one. I didn't go that long. I was in Clarksville, Tennessee. We were doing a revival. Went to have a new prescription written. And the ophthalmologist said to me, Miss Tennyson, you have the tightest retinas of any extremely nearsighted person I've ever examined. I've never seen retinas this tight. What am I saying this morning? Church, when we begin to tell of our position, God, I believe. God, I believe. More than a mental conclusion. But Sister Deborah, this morning, it is something that I begin to do, an activity, a movement. Something begins to happen. God, I'm going to believe you and act like something is taking place in my situation and in my life. And I'm going to shout all the way back to the circumstances that have not changed. But I know this, it will change because I've heard from home and I've heard from a father that says I have it under control. I'm not broke and something's going to change in my situation because I've gone beyond Lord if and I've gone to Lord I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. I believe this morning and I get it in my spirit. Let's finish up. Not only did he say trust in my promise, turn to my person, tell of your position. Number four, he said test my power. Martha, you tell him to roll away the stone. Now, we're not testing him as people would think. We don't test God, folks. But testing means, God, I'm going to do it and believe you're going to do what you say. Martha, tell them to roll away the stone. And she said, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. Let me tell you something this morning, church. The stink don't stop him. Let me say it again just a minute. The stink don't stop him. The stink of sin did not stop him. The man called Legion, the woman at the well, the woman caught in the act of adultery, the stink of sin doesn't stop him. The stink of sickness does not stop him. The lepers, the man at the water pool, none of that stopped him. Honey, the stink of impossibility didn't stop him. Water into wine. Fed to 5,000. The woman at the Zarephath didn't have any food. The stink of impossibility does not stop him. And I want you to get this in the morning. This morning. The stink of misunderstanding doesn't stop him. I mean, those even in our churches. We can have some problems and misunderstandings. But folks, that doesn't stop God from moving. If we'll say, God, we know who you are, and we're going to get beyond the stink of misunderstanding. We're going to get beyond the stink of sickness. We're going to get beyond the stink of sin. We're going to get beyond the stink of impossibility. We're going to roll away the stone of unbelief, the stone of doubt, the stone of fear. We're going to roll it away this morning, and we're going to say, we're going to let you come in and do the work that you need to do in our heart, in our life, in our situation, in our spirit. We're going to let you be God once again. Folks, I cannot do it within myself, but there has to be something within me that's greater than what's out on the outside of this world, that has to be greater than my problems. Something within me has to be greater than all my fears. I've got to say, God, I'm going to let you do it. I know that you have all power in heaven and in earth, and I'm going to trust in your word. I'm going to turn to your person. I'm going to tell him my position, and I'm going to test your power this morning and let you be God. There's a miracle in the making. Church, I want us to get back to saying, God, I believe in miracles. We accept things as they are. And we say, well, I guess that's the way it's going to have to be. I looked at the prayer list this morning. Brother Hackett was praying. Looked at every one of them and thought to myself, we serve a God that's bigger, Brother Bridges, than every need on that prayer list. Well, we've got to get past, Lord, if. We've got to go on to say, Lord, I believe. I believe. God, this week, give us a fresh vision of what God wants to do and will do in our situation and in our lives in a fresh way. God, there's a miracle. There's a miracle in the making. And it's for you this week. There's a miracle. But what do you need to do? Number one, you've got to trust in His promise. You've got to turn to His person. Of all the good family we have and all the friends that we have, folks, they can't do for us what Jesus will do. We've got to turn from that. And then we've got to tell of our position. And I'm going to put you on the spot this morning. I want you to tell of your position. How many believes God wants to work in your circumstance this week? Tell of your position. Where do you stand on this? Are you past, Lord, if? Will you go on to, Lord, I believe? Lord, I believe. And then will you say, God, I will test your power. I believe you. I'm going to roll away the stone. I'm not going to worry about the stink because I realize the stink won't stop him. Still has all power in heaven and in earth. You remember the enemy tried to stop him, but the stink even of interruptions did not stop Jesus. The enemy said, if you're who you say you are, turn these stones into bread. And then he said, there wasn't anything wrong with working a miracle, but why didn't he do it? Because of the source. He said, if you're who you say you are, why didn't you get up on the pinnacle of this temple and fall off? The scripture says, there won't be any bones broken. Honey, wasn't anything wrong with fulfilling scripture. Why did he do it? Because of the source. Then he said, if you'll just worship me, if I got to just have 1 minute of your time, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. That's why he came, for the world. Why didn't he do it? Honey, it bypassed the cross. They see the stink of interruption didn't even stop Jesus. And we need to get it in our spirit this morning and say, God, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Are you settling for the way it is? And say, I guess this is the way it has to be the rest of my life. Are you settling for that? Or are you saying, today I'm past, Lord, if, and I'm going to go on to, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Used to be an old song we used to sing, and I know I probably scared Brother McDonald to death. Used to be an old song we used to sing, Lord, I believe. Savior, raise my faith in thee till it can move a mountain. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All my doubts are buried in the fountain. How many remembers that song? Well, Lord, I believe. I'm past, Lord, if. I'm going to say this morning, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I'm going to close. Raised in Pentecost. Most of you probably can tell that. started attending church when I was 2 weeks old. All I've ever known is Pentecost. And when I grew up, when we got sick, Mom and Daddy prayed for us. If insurance keeps getting higher, we may have to go back to that. Mourned with a knot the size of an orange on my spine. Doctor said to my parents, she'll never walk. Inoperable. But she'll have to be carried in a wheelchair as long as she lives. Wonderful pastors that I was saved under, raised under. My pastor's wife played the piano. And my mother said every time she finished playing the piano, she would come after me, take me out of my mother's arms. And while my pastor preached, she would lay me on my stomach and pray and rub that knot on my back. 6 months she did that. Pastor Trask. One day, my mother noticed it was gone. It was gone. No more knot on my back. What happened? She said, my mother said when she told the pastor's wife what the doctor had said, my pastor's wife said, we're not going to accept it. We serve, we preach about a God that is able. And we're not going to accept it. And said, besides that, God's going to heal this young lady, and one day she's going to hospital. True pastor's wife. What am I saying, church? You see, I have no problem walking. Why? Mom took me back to the doctor. God healed me. Mom took me back to the doctor, and he said, I can't tell you what's happened. But he said, this child's back is in perfect condition. There's a miracle in the making. Trust in His promise. Turn to His person. Tell of your position. Test His power. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you. One just for you.